Wow, full house. This is great. I know. So, welcome, guys. Thank you for coming, spending your hour with us. My name is Zarana G. I'm a Photoshop product manager. And I've been on the Photoshop team for actually 11 years now. So I've been around for a while. And what we're going to do today is actually, it's going to be pretty freeform. We're going to have a panel up here. We have some panelists, people from the team as well as and not from Adobe. And if you guys have any questions, feel free to jump in and ask questions. We have some questions prepared up here that we would like the panelists to talk about. But definitely feel free to ask your own questions, okay? So let's go ahead and start with some introductions. We'll start here with Daniel.
Hi, my name is Daniel Pesedo. I've been on the Photoshop team since CS4. I've used Photoshop myself personally since probably version 1.5 or 2. I started in comics a long time ago, black and white, with things like Razor and whatnot. But I started using Photoshop immediately. I was attracted to it. And I've been working at Adobe since 1999. And you know, it's a great job, it's a great product. And that's pretty much my story.
Okay, my name is Nikolai Slavkin. Could you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm a Photoshop developer, actual developer in 3D features, Photoshop 3D features that are, you can see in CS4 and CS5 Extended. So CS4 and CS5 Extended, so 4 years, that's pretty much pretty long. That's how long I've been with the team. So you know, I'm a developer, so I break code, I fix code, and that's where 3D features come from. So lately just started doing some 3D artwork for fun, and also support testing, but Daniel here is doing most of the testing, so that's my story.
Hi, I'm Mike Shaw. Here we go. I'm Mike Shaw. I started on Photoshop when it was in beta in Photoshop 4. Been working for Adobe for coming up on 15 years now. Mainly been testing painting features at this point. All the new brush stuff that we put in the last couple of things. And that's about it.
All the painting questions go to you.
Hi, my name is Laura Martin. I'm a colorist exclusive right now with Marvel. I've been using Photoshop since I worked at Wildstorm back in 95, which would be version 3, I think. I've been pretty much been on Photoshop the entire time ever since. Although, you know, with artists, we tend to skip every other version, so. But I do everything in the world in Photoshop right now.
My name is Chris Cox. I'm one of the Photoshop engineers. I've been on Photoshop almost 15 years. My biggest hits would be 16-bit everything, 32-bit everything, large documents, large files, presets, smart objects. I've touched pretty much everything except for 3D code.
So you got it covered?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, great. So do you guys have any questions off the bat? Anyone here? Any kind of question at all?
Anybody brave enough to stand up?
Nice. So, I guess I'll tackle this one first. There are a lot of differences between CS5 and CS4. I would say one of the main things is that it's 64-bit now. So that means that you'll get greater performance in almost anything that you do, especially if you're working with large files. You can definitely see a lot of performance improvements. But we have a lot of focus changes for painters, artists, sketchers, photographers. At the end, if you guys are interested, I can definitely do a quick demo for you after we get a couple questions and some information from our panelists. But for now, if you guys want to see a demo, definitely. Do you guys want to see a demo at the end of CS5? Yes. Right. We'll do that.
Or do it now.
Cool, wait.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. So Daniel has some questions.
Sure, no more questions, really?
No, you guys just jump in whenever you have a question.
All right, one of the questions we have here is, Photoshop started, let's see, how many ways do you use Photoshop in your work? And I really, I would direct that to the colors.
No? Thanks.
No?
Well, like I said, I've been using Photoshop pretty much exclusively since I've been coloring comics. I actually started in college, learned it, and hated it at first because I didn't understand. I think the very first version I touched was 2.5, and it had no layers, and I didn't understand the matter of layers. So when layers were introduced, that was a big darn deal for me. And then later on, when the brush engine was introduced, that became, you know, it was a glorious, glorious day when the brush engine was introduced. So I've been, I've got probably palettes upon palettes of brushes that just do everything from clouds to skin to just, you know, rocky textures and things. I probably have 400 brushes and use maybe 7 of them all the time. But, you know, that's how it goes when you got to color 6 pages in a day. So, it's all been, for me, it's been entirely the brush stuff. Some filters, I barely use the camera work. Any of the camera stuff, I don't. Totally untouched by me, that's I live in the brush engine and the painting tools and the lasso. That's my guy right there. So that's.
And one question we get quite frequently is the oddest use of Photoshop. And everybody can jump in. I mean, even you guys can jump in. I mean, I've seen some strange stuff from touched up photos on the news to, you know, Chris was saying red lasers to help people generally understand.
Yeah. This one actually comes from my boss. We were on the plane and he sat next to this guy, a very straight businesslike, pulls out his laptop and he's got these pictures of airplanes and explosions and he starts drawing red lines between them. We're like, what? Well, he works for Boeing and they're making this big airplane-based laser to shoot down missiles. But the laser is infrared. And the guys at the Pentagon really didn't take science class. They don't understand infrared. They want to see lasers. So he's sitting on the plane before the presentation drawing in lasers.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Now this question is primarily for you guys out there. What is the most irritable thing about Photoshop?
Now's your chance to.
Yeah, this is your chance.
Well, why don't we start with the best? People might be more comfortable to say that in the beginning.
So, you know, that's how we make the product better. And you want to say it's irritable. I'm telling you, no one here is irritated. Okay,
one down there.
He was first.
Why is it so complicated to start out with? If you don't know anything about Photoshop, I've tried using it before. I got a headache and had to go lay down.
So, Photoshop, if you guys don't know, actually celebrated its 21st birthday this year. So Photoshop has been around for a long time. I mean, some of you guys have been using Photoshop since 2, and not me, I started actually Photoshop 5. So definitely with every release, we continue to add more and more things. However, we do balance that with workflow and usability points. So we make sure we try to put things together where they logically make sense. And it's easier to follow if you're not that familiar with it. However, that said, it is very complicated and there are many ways to do the same things. There are lots of really, really great resources out there that help you get started with Photoshop. Starting with our very own Adobe, you know, if you go to Adobe TV, they actually have really great videos by Julianne Koss, by Russell Brown, by people, by external people in the industry who kind of break things down and help you get started. So I would recommend as a way to get started for new people working in Photoshop is to hit up some of the tutorials on Adobe TV or even with some of our partners like lynda.com. They have really great tutorials as well. But definitely we try to balance each release with adding new things and new innovations that help people, you know, do things better and quicker, as well as how you want to put the puzzle pieces together to make sort of the workflow make more sense.
So,
do you guys have anything you want to add to
it? Yeah. There's a lot to Photoshop. It's got stuff for painters, it's got stuff for photographers, it's got stuff for printers, it's got stuff for microbiologists, a little bit of everything. Because it all relates to images, it all relates to the work that people want to do with images. But not everybody understands every part. There are some parts of it that the photographer looks at and says, oh, that's obvious. And then there are other parts they look at and say, who would ever use that? Well, that same part that they wonder who would ever use, the printer goes, oh, that's obvious, but who would want that photography stuff? The other way to look at it is, you know, have you ever seen, like on PBS, these master woodworkers shops? There are tools hanging everywhere and these big mechanical things all over the room and you have no freaking idea what they do. Well, the master woodworker knows what every piece of it does, but he didn't learn it all at once. He learned a few simple ones and then he built on it. And then he learned a few more and then he learned a few more and there's this one tool that's just for the finishing on the edges of the table and stuff. It's all got a use, but it takes time to learn. And unfortunately, as Photoshop goes on, we add more useful stuff, but it takes time to learn.
We have another question down here.
I had a question about the documentation for Photoshop. I don't know if you have a manual, but the brick. Whereas the second and third party people are not sure about how to destroy things, they seem to be more inviting than whatever. I mean, hope you guys will look at this evaluation, not just that the information is there, somewhere in that but it's more inviting to get it.
So the comment was the documentation that Adobe has, we certainly have documentation, but it's not always so easy to approach or to read, and that we should take a look at, not necessarily that we should take a look, but we actually work very closely with our partners, our external trainers and our educators. And we rely on these people to help us write these documents for us to make sure that they're more readable. Because that Adobe is not, we give you the information, we tell you what features are there, how they're used, and how to use the tool set and how to use the toolbox. But it's really you guys out there and the people who use our product on a day-to-day basis in a creative and artistic way that really know how to make and how to use the tools in a really creative way and show it off. And we rely on those people to help communicate those types of expertise.
Yeah, we're good at telling you what it does. We're not good at telling you when you want to use it.
But Adobe TV, actually, that's something pretty new that we introduced maybe two or three years ago. And it's become a really popular site for people to learn about new features. And that is handled much better. We have specialized evangelists that work with us that know how to teach the features and know how to teach them for the different markets that we have. Because like Chris mentioned, we have, I mean, everyone is a Photoshop. Anyone who has to touch a digital image is a Photoshop user. So that ranges from photographers to designers to artists, comic book artists to, you know, scientists and forensics and government. You name it. We have many, many different types of customers. Another question back here?
Yeah, kind of along those lines, I love Photoshop, but one pet peeve of mine is there'll be one specific thing I want to learn how to do, like for example, I want to make an animated GIF.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go into the index help, I'll find animated GIF, and I'll tell you what an animated GIF is, I'll tell you everything about an animated GIF except how to make one. And I always have better luck Googling it or going to Linda than I do using the exterior help on Photoshop. I don't know if I'm going with experience. But I just thought I'd mention.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
It's like I get all the information about what I don't need, what I need to know, how I do this photo.
Right.
It's like one of those things.
And like I mentioned, we rely, these are certified partners that we have, that help us create these content to help people get more familiar with our product. Question down here? What version are you on?
An older version, but it sucks up all my memory. I can't remember another version. And queries of CS5, I find out
that the problem is more
than
that. Well, it's
an inherent problem. Images take up space. That's memory.
Yeah.
And.
But I will say that we actually do have. Pretty good documentation online through Adobe.com on performance optimizations. We've done tremendous of improvements, especially between 4 and 5 with the 64-bit conversion, because we utilize memory, we utilize disk space better. But if you look up performance documentation on Photoshop.com, on Adobe.com, we give you specific steps of what you should do, how you should set up your preferences, how much memory you should allocate to Photoshop, depending on what type of user you are. And I really urge you to check out that documentation. It gives you kind of step by step. There's like 10 different things. You like decrease your history steps different types of things that you can do to set up and optimize your Photoshop.
Yeah, and the best things that you can do are going to depend on your type of workflow. If you're working with thousands of layers in a small document or a big document with two layers, the biggest win is going to be different. Mm-hmm. You need more RAM, you need a better hard drive, a faster CPU. It all varies.
And with the last couple of releases of Photoshop, we've actually started leveraging the GPU, which means that we start using your graphics card memory and drawing to the graphics card, so it makes everything faster. Like if you want to pan and zoom, if you want to scroll, if you want to run certain processes like Camera Raw, they're much faster.
But then there could be other apps using the same graphics resources too.
Question back there? Yep.
We were talking earlier about how we have 300 brushes and all kinds of stuff. I'm starting to use it now, and that's probably where most of my time is obsessing over all. So I was just curious, what are the brushes that you should just stick to safe and just narrow? You only use the 7 or 11.
Because I go in comics, there are a fair amount of times when I need clouds, when I need rocks, when I need some sort of a gritty texture like dust or sand. Those are the 5 or 6 brushes that I tend to use over and over again, even if I'm using them for different things. Like that gritty sand brush I could use as, I could create asphalt out of it, or I could create, whatever surface texture I need that's not too rocky but not smooth either. So I tend to, recycle a lot of these brushes for different purposes. But by and large, the painting brushes that I use are, your standard Photoshop paintbrush that I have set, for my own settings for how long I want the fade, how wide or how thin I want the line. And your typical round brush, I use that an awful lot. I use the gradients a great deal. I have, a lot of what I do is I'll make a selection of the lasso and then run a gradient through it, so I do a lot of that. But if I decide that, I've used this particular cloud brush a lot and it's starting to look repetitive, and I'll know when it's repetitive. I don't know if anybody else notices it, but my Photoshop buddies know, my colorist buddies know, and that starts to bug me. So I'll go and I'll be like, I need a slightly different cloud, and then I'll use that cloud for a while. Or, if I want a, like a creepy, cloudy sky, mysterious sky versus a sunset, then I've got a couple of different options for that. But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Suddenly you're like, oh, I can make this brush that makes this awesome skin texture that I'll use once. But save your brushes. When you make a brush you like, save it. Make sure you always save those presets, because otherwise it will be gone next time you turn around. So.
And use the tool presets.
Yes, the tool presets, yes.
A lot of people don't use that as a preset.
Another really cool tip that a customer was telling me about is they like to assign selecting brushes to an action and to a shortcut key. And so if they want to switch between brushes quickly, they just have to hit like F1 or F2 and they can switch between the brushes. Most artists that I know actually toggle between less than 4 brushes. Maybe it's 2 kind of thing. Okay, another question there?
It's not something that's changed in Photoshop, but there have been various bugs in the Wacom drivers over time, and they're very responsive if you inform them of this, and they'll try to fix it pretty quick. And usually every month or so they'll put out a bug fix. But unfortunately, some of the third-party tablets, non-Wacom,